Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is season 5, episode 86 of this daily study podcast. Thank you so much for joining us once again today as we begin this week's study of our Come Follow Me materials, covering the week of April the 17th to April the 23rd. In the books chapters of Matthew chapter 18 and Luke chapter 10. Today we're going to start with Matthew 18 and cover a few bits that are near the beginning that I wanted to just touch on. And then we might get to the section where Peter asks about forgiveness and how often we should forgive. So we'll see how we get to today. But to begin with, verse 1, it says, "And at the same time, the disciples came unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" So there's this question which seems to be asking about status or position in the kingdom. And this is, you know, it's probably something which the Saviour isn't too pleased about, so you can imagine, or he isn't, you know, wanting them to think about this type of status when it comes to the kingdom of heaven. And so verses 2 and 3 it says, "And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So this doesn't, on the face of it, seem to answer their question, but when you reflect on it, he's teaching them a very important lesson. Derek A. Cuthbert said this, quote, "Wisdom, understanding, largeness of heart are signs of maturity. When Solomon acquired these qualities, he was no longer but a little child. To mature, then, is to retain or regain some childlike qualities we need to have and to develop other qualities which children do not have." Close quote. So this idea that these qualities that help us to be as a little child, to help us enter the kingdom of heaven, and in relation to the disciples' question, such as humility or submissiveness, are important parts. Submissiveness to the Lord, of course, what we're referring to here. So I think that that helps us to understand what the Lord is trying to say to these disciples, is that, you know, a child wouldn't sit there thinking, oh, am I going to lead ahead of these people, or, you know, am I going to have more status than these people? They would listen to, you know, the person whose house or whose kingdom it is. And so I think that that is an important thing to reflect on, really. The Saviour then continues in verse 4 and says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And so that is, you know, an important important aspect of that. Speaking of the child, he then continues and says in verse 6, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." It is very rare that we hear the Saviour speaking in such harsh tones, but when he does speak in such a harsh manner, you notice it is in moments like this when he is speaking about the vulnerable, he's speaking about little ones, he's speaking about people who cannot stand up for themselves or who cannot make sure that they are protected and look to others for their protection, and those that ought to provide that protection, they abuse or they cause upset and grief to those who cannot fend for themselves. So I think that that is an important aspect to this, that the Saviour, you know, he is full of grace and mercy and love, and that he knows that we all make mistakes. But if we abuse or if we make others suffer, particularly young children, then there's going to be a lot of questions to answer and things to address for that individual. And so just an important note there, really, that the Saviour reminds us about these things and makes sure that we are aware of them. And then he goes on and talks about offences or sin in general. And what's interesting is that he says in verse 8, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off. and cast them from me, from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than have two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. So, you know, just that reminder of whatever it is in our lives that is keeping us from the Saviour, or whatever it is in our lives that we're not doing that is keeping us from the Saviour, whether it is omission or commission in our lives that is not helping us to have the relationship with our Saviour that we can, then we need to take action. And we can take action. It may be a sacrifice for us. It may mean not doing certain things at certain times, or avoiding certain things in our lives. And if that's the case, then we sacrifice that, and we make sure that we can stay pure and clean as best as we can. I'm going to skip ahead now, because I think the rest of the things which are mentioned in Matthew 18 we will cover again in later weeks, such as the 100 sheep parable and so on. But I'm going to go straight now to verse 21 and just introduce this idea, because I think we're going to cover this more fully tomorrow. But we begin with Peter asking the question, Lord, how oft shall I forgive my brother? Shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, this is, of course, an interesting moment, because Peter is probably thinking that, you know, he's being very merciful in suggesting the seven times. This number seven won't have been pulled out of thin air. There's a reason behind it. In the law, there was some suggestion that there was a number of three that people were expected to forgive others. So Peter's suggestion of seven is more than double that. And so he's probably feeling quite proud of himself. And don't forget, the number seven is a sign of completeness. And so perhaps he's thinking that this is a very significant and important milestone of forgiving someone else. Adeline G. Robbins said this, quote, presumably Peter thought seven was a sufficiently high number to emphasize the folly of forgiving too many times, and that benevolence should have its limits. In response, the Saviour essentially told Peter to not even count, to not establish limits on forgiveness, close quote. So this idea that obviously 70 times seven, clearly, is not an invitation for us to count up and tally 490 times when each individual has wronged us. But it's an invitation for us to recognise that there should not be a limit on forgiveness of others, and that we should be seeking in our lives to have the mercy that our Saviour has for other people. Now, of course, I say seeking to, because are we all going to be as perfectly forgiving as the Saviour is? Probably not. That's why he is the exemplar for us. But it is something to start thinking about, is how can we do that? And this is a challenge, and we know that obviously people have done wrong to us in our lives, and some people have done some awful wrongs to other people. And of course, there is the point that we should not accept abuse or anything that is ongoing in our lives just because we're expected to forgive people. We should have boundaries and take action where needed, but still be forgiving in the time that we can. I think we'll pause that there and go into the example or the parable that the Saviour gives with this principle tomorrow, because it's a really fascinating one. Thank you very much for joining us today. Please do join us tomorrow as we continue with our study for this week. And until we meet again.